Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Chris Vico, who just started up the Vico Group. You've probably noticed Chris on the website, both in the blog and a recent pro or troll quiz that's been very popular on the site regarding board agendas. And Chris is a longtime friend who just started out in a new venture in life. So the first question for you, Chris, is what was your old life? I know you worked at McKesson.
Thank you, Brock. I ran the corporate secretary function at McKesson for several years. My responsibilities included the corporate governance program, including the board and committee activities, SEC, New York Stock Exchange, and SOX compliance. I also had stock administration and corporate subsidiary maintenance.
And you did that for a long time?
I did for several years, seven years.
And what is your goal with your new new position? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I formed Vico Group when I realized that a lot of smaller companies just don't have the necessary in-house resources to run an effective corporate governance program. You know, larger companies have a staff responsible for the governance work, including the corporate secretary function, but there are so many smaller companies that just don't have in-house resources to do this, and outside counsel can be helpful, but the implementation of a corporate governance program and the day-to-day running of it really falls to the company. And the lack of resources really can pose a serious risk to the company and to its board. Sometimes in smaller companies, the general counsel or chief financial officer may have the title of corporate secretary, but they may not even have a background in corporate governance, and they may not even have staff to support them. So here's an example. In a small biotech company, CEO's assistant acted as the secretary for board meetings, and she would come into the meetings with her laptop, and she'd record word for word what went on in the meetings, and that would become the minutes of the meetings. And as you know, Brock, that minute-taking really needs to be handled by skilled professionals these days. It's just not a ministerial function. You need a lawyer with a knowledge of current governance practices and legal principles. And, you know, the well-drafted minutes create an opportunity to demonstrate not only the completeness of the information considered by the board, but the thoroughness of the process by which the directors reach their conclusions. So they're really, really important. So that was the notion, is to help companies that don't have the internal resources develop a sound governance program. And I can either teach them what they need to do, supplement existing resources, or do the work for them, depending on the needs of the company. And I really do come at this from years of practical in-house experience, and so I know what the right governance practices are and how to make it work. Again, the goal is to support the people who have this responsibility in the company.
So what's an example of how how your service works?
Well, I can come in, and again, if you've here, I met with the CFO not long ago, and he was the corporate secretary for a young company, and he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing in terms of taking the minutes. So I helped him develop appropriate agendas for the upcoming meetings. We established a schedule of board meetings for the next year, and we developed some agendas so that it was a thought-out process. And then I actually came into the meetings and took the minutes for him. So it can just take whatever form the company needs.
And I know one thing that you like to do is create year-end tips or practice pointers for yourself when you're at McKesson. What do you recommend that companies do for this year?
Well, I think prior to the end of each year, before getting into the proxy season, it makes sense to consider what's ahead of you in the upcoming season and whether your current practices and documents, as they've been disclosed, are going to stand up to scrutiny. So, for example, you have to think about, do you already have shareholder proposals? Are there going to be any management proposals this year? If you haven't met the folks in the proxy voting groups of your larger institutional holders, I think it's really important to get to know who those people are, and so you might want to introduce yourself to them now. The goal is not to solicit their votes. That would not be appropriate, but to get to know who they are and let them know who you are so that if you need to reach out to them in the midst of proxy season, they have some context, and maybe they'll take your call. Your proxy solicitors can tell you who these folks are and how to reach them. Next, I would do a review of some of the company's fundamental governance practices and documents, and tee up for board approval any adjustments that need to occur. You have to think about them in the context of your upcoming proxy disclosure regarding your governance program overall and the description of committee responsibilities. Think of them also in the context of your corporate governance quotient, or CGQ, if you or your board cares about that. If you can get some easy points from ISS for disclosing something that you already have in place, I would definitely go for it. I would start with the committee charters. An annual review of the charters is essential, but rather than just doing it on a perfunctory basis, I would make sure these documents really work from a practical perspective. Regarding the compensation committee charter, do you need to make any adjustments to the description of the committee's role in light of the new executive compensation disclosure? Do you want to add that they review the new CDNA? Have you made any adjustments to the committee consultants' relationship, and do you need to add that to the charters? I think the governance committee and its responsibilities are coming under increasing scrutiny because of the increased pressure to adopt governance changes such as majority voting, annual election of directors, and so on. So I think it's really important to make sure this charter's in order as well.
Great.
I know that many companies spent time on their audit committee charters a few years ago when the requirements first came out, but I think it's time to take a fresh look, and based on practice, is there anything else that needs to be adjusted for that charter as well? The corporate governance guidelines should be reviewed for the same reasons. Do they still work from a practical perspective? Have you added director stock ownership requirements, for example, and if so, those can be included in the governance guidelines for CGQ credit. And I understand that if these requirements are couched as guidelines or are too soft, you may not get credit, so be careful how you disclose those. Have you adopted a related party transactions policy recently, and does that need to be reflected in the guidelines or any charters? And by the way, if you haven't adopted such a policy, you might want to think about doing so. With respect to the annual board evaluation, if you mention that in the guidelines, if you've recently added individual director evaluations, as many companies have, think about including that. These all go to how the world perceives your company and its governance program. So I think it's important to disclose these things, put them on the website so people can see it. I think this is also a good time of year to take a few minutes to review, to review these documents from a practical perspective. The next thing I would do is prepare an agenda for the next year for each of the committees and for the board. As Brock mentioned, I'm a big proponent of having annual agendas, and I really think it helps to organize the board and the committees and management itself. I think the idea is to get in front of the board all of the things it's required to consider, as well as those things it wants to spend time on. So you start with the company's corporate approvals policy and as well as historical agenda items. You can map out the year based on the disclosure requirements, based on the board's obligations, and based on the company practice, such as budget cycles. And Brock has some good examples of agendas on his site, but each company is going to have its own requirements. Again, I think these agendas make management look good in the board's eyes and are going to add to the overall organization of the board and its effectiveness. These are just a few of the things I think you can address before the end of the year that will really go a long way in helping with the upcoming, busy season.
Great. I really appreciate your insight, Chris, and I'm sure those out there will as well. And, of course, thanks again for the pro and troll quiz and help on the blog and everything else that you're doing for us.
My pleasure, Brock. Thank you.